72 degrees. 80 tomorrow. A reprise of summer. Joining me now, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. He's had the pleasure of hanging out on Capitol Hill the last few days. Bob, how you doing?
Hi, Roger. It's been a joy.
I'll bet. What's your sense of the collective mood on Capitol Hill today?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of anger everywhere and people trying to blame each other for what's going on. You know, what we are beginning to see, you know, the House Republicans who kind of, you know, brought us to this point are seem to be looking for a way out. Their latest maneuver, which is going to happen in the next hour or two, is they're now going to try to restore funding to some agencies that are shut down, some parts of government, but not others. They're going to start apparently with the Park Service and the Veterans Administration because, you know, they think those will be popular and hard for Democrats to vote against. It's not clear if the Senate's going to go along with that, in part because of concern of the precedent that basically allowing the House Republicans to decide which parts of the government to open and which to keep closed.
I hadn't looked at it from that perspective, but is it a possibility that this is the way out, that pieces at a time we just put the money back?
It is a way out. It could take a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of parts of the government. And there are probably some parts Republicans don't like that they would never want to put back in. And so, you know, it could be a little bit of a way forward, but it's not an end to this thing.
What's the reaction from the Democrats on Capitol Hill to that approach?
Well, I mean, you know, they're basically saying that they think this is not a good idea. Senator Schumer just put out a statement saying, you know, it's not fair to try to choose between opening the national parks and funding cancer research, that they need to just do all of it and restore funding. The White House dismissed it as not a serious proposal. But on the other hand, I think it could be very difficult for Democrats to vote against a measure that would basically, without strings, reopen the national parks and get the Veterans Administration working again.
But how do the Democrats get around that this leaves a minority in one portion of a branch of government sort of controlling the whole federal government?
I mean, that is the problem. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that. I mean, this is a new tack that the Republicans came up with. And, you know, I have to say it's a fairly clever strategy.
Yeah. We're talking with CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. Bob, what are you sensing within the Republicans from the Tea Party camp on the extreme right to the larger Republican Party there? Are there ill feelings or are they coming together now?
Well, I mean, there's still a divide, and there's no question about that. Among the House Republicans, the Tea Party is a, you know, very strong and powerful group, and you know, may be as much as a majority of that party within the House. You know, there have started to be a few House Republicans who are saying, look, you know, this is a mistake. We've taken this as far as it can go. Let's just reopen the government. There have been a number of Republican senators who've been saying that all along.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certainly a lot of Republicans outside of Congress, as well as business leaders who are very strong supporters generally of the Republican Party, who've been arguing very strenuously that this is a mistake.
Doesn't the fact the market went up today, though, cut some of the wind out of the sails of government or business really wants this thing settled?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, trying to interpret market movements is always a little dangerous.
No,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that happened today is there was a very strong economic report, and I think that helped bring the market up. The economic effects of a shutdown would take, you know, a week or two or three before they started kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
They are real. I mean, if, you know, the federal government is the largest employer in the country, and so if, you know, they're not getting paid, you know, that will have a substantial effect on the economy and on consumer spending. But that would take a while. And I think, you know, business leaders are kind of assuming that at some point cooler heads will prevail and this will end.
Okay. Well, we just heard that the treasurer of the state of Michigan says that the SNAP program or food stamps has about 2 weeks of funding at this point, but that if the shutdown goes beyond that, it would close down the help and heating for poor people and also bring the food stamp program to a halt. And so there'll be increasing pressure over time, it seems.
Yeah, that's a little odd because food stamps are not funded through regular annual appropriations. They're permanently funded. But a lot of the other programs for poor people, including the WIC program, which provides food assistance to women and children, are funded by regular annual appropriations, and they're going to be stretched.
Interesting. I appreciate your taking time out of your busy day to give us an update, and thanks for all the good work.
Well, thank you, Roger.
Have a good one. Bob Fuss, CBS News correspondent on Capitol Hill, and apparently chokes me up. Apparently, the Republicans have a new approach. We'll see how well that works out. /416 at 590 WKZO. Actually, let's be correct. It is 417. Raj Taylor driving you home this afternoon, and master control in the able hands of Abby. Well, we've all know that today is the first day for the exchanges that are a part of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it's been renamed. The state-level insurance marketplaces opened at midnight last night, marking the start of a six-month enrollment period that lasts until March. So before we go any further, as we know, I had a conversation with Don Hazart from that's in charge of the navigators that are helping people with the marketplace. And he said there's a couple of things to keep in mind. One is that none of the insurance from this goes into effect until January 1st. That's the way the law of the land is laid out. And you have until December 15th to actually sign up for the program. A couple of important notes. One, if you have insurance through your employer, you don't have to do anything. There's nothing in this that impacts you. So a large number of people have nothing to do now that the health insurance marketplaces are out there. But let's say you're in a group that is keenly interested in this, that you're one of the people who really needs health insurance. Well, you don't have to rush and sign up today. You have until December 15th. It's not first come, first serve. If you're signed up sometime between now and December 15th, your insurance will start like clockwork on January 1st. There's been some confusion about the new marketplaces, also called exchanges in some place. Initial reports suggest that a significant number of people are seeking out information about reform. States across the country are overwhelmed with huge amounts of traffic to the new exchange sites, and that may be based simply on curiosity. These are sort of like those of us who slow down when we see a traffic accident, so we can see exactly what happened. A senior Obama administration official reported that just 3 hours after Obamacare's open enrollment period launched, the national healthcare.gov site had already had 1 million visitors. That's 5 times more users on the site than the number of users that have ever visited Medicare.gov at the same time. And Medicare serves far more people. And so this, it would seem, are curiosity seekers going to the website. At about 3:45 p.m., the White House Deputy Press Secretary reported that 2.8 million had visited the site since its launch and that 81,000 people had called the federal hotline to get information about Obamacare. In California, the Golden State celebrated its first Obamacare enrollee at 8:45 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Since then, state residents have tweeted that they're impressed with how easy it is to use the exchange's app, and the site was working like a charm for Californians. The officials running the exchange, the site is getting 10,000 hits a second. In Colorado, the exchange opened for business at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. 3 hours later, officials said that they had completed the first enrollments and the site had logged over 34,500 unique visitors. Scanning down the list, in Illinois by noon today, more than 42,000 people had visited the website for the Illinois exchange. And I'm not seeing, well, because Michigan does not have a Michigan-specific site. Michigan residents who are looking at the program are using the federal site. Since elected officials in Michigan chose to not have a site tailored just to Michigan's needs. Some people trying to log into their state's websites are experiencing some glitches and delays. In a former lifetime, I was involved in building, designing and building large-scale integrated databases. And I want you to know this is not an easy thing to do, and that you should expect some glitches and some stumbles here. Anytime you do a huge undertaking like this, the program is going to have what some of us in the data processing world called undocumented features. Other people call those bugs, and you should expect some. And that's why Don Hazard's advice that there's no real sense of urgency, that you don't have to go there today, tomorrow, even next month, or you've got halfway through the month after that. And pretty soon the gawkers will be out of those websites, and it will be just the people who are truly interested in the site who are using it. So waiting a few days before jumping on this may serve you well. You'll encounter fewer glitches, and you'll also have less traffic and a perhaps more quickly responding website. The Obama administration is advising Americans who are experiencing issues to contact the federal call center or use the help section of the federal healthcare.gov site to find someone who can assist them. If you're not internet comfortable, Americans can always sign up using a paper application. And so lots of people looking, apparently some people buying, and no talk of widespread glitches or problems in the system. And it's ironic that the government shutdown, which was targeted by the extreme right in the House of Representatives, they've shut the government down to stop Obamacare. And Obamacare is one of the few parts of the government that's working correctly today. And I love irony. 590 WKZO time, 426.
Home foreclosure can be a nightmare. A couple of missed house payments, and before you know it, your house is being sold right from underneath you. You don't know where you or your family are going to live, or even where you are going to spend the night. If you don't think it can happen to you or anyone you know, think again. You don't have to face this alone. There is a new government-sponsored program that may help you keep your home. Nonprofit certified counselors from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling are available to work with you and can help you deal with your lender. And this service is completely free. The sooner you call, the better your options. Call 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. This nightmare does not have to happen to you. That number again, 866-687-6322, or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.
Have you been trying to sell your home and nothing seems to be working? You need to talk to Matt Mulder of Keller Williams Realty. This is Lori Moore, and I'm here to tell you that Matt is not your average realtor who relies on yard signs, open houses, and balloons on the corner of the street. That just attracts nosy neighbors. Matt attracts buyers. His system for selling homes attracts hundreds of buyers every single month, and that creates demand and sells your home for the most money possible. That's why Matt can guarantee to sell your home at a price and a deadline you can agree to, or he's going to have it bought for cash. His system is so effective that Matt even gives you the freedom to get out of the contract if at any point he's not living up to his end of the deal. I'm telling you, Matt Mulder is the realtor you need to talk to. With Matt Mulder, your home will be here today and sold tomorrow. Give Matt Mulder a call today, 207-4712. That's 207-4712. Or go to KalamazooRealEstateNews.com. That's KalamazooRealEstateNews.com.
Raj Taylor driving you home this afternoon. The weather forecast, the WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Clouds eventually giving way to some sunshine this afternoon, turning warmer, and the temperature continues to keep rising. We're up to 73. Expect a high somewhere near 80. Mainly clear and mild tonight, 55 the low. Mostly sunny and very warm tomorrow for this time of year. Very warm, a high of 80. Thursday, variably cloudy, warm, couple of showers and a thunderstorm around, and a high of 77. Again, we've got 73 degrees in Kalamazoo. Responding to an email. Last hour, I mentioned that I'm a big proponent of credit unions, and that I used Consumers Credit Union as an example, that they reached out to federal employees, both military and non-military, and proactively went out and went to them last night saying that they understand that all of a sudden people were going to have payless paydays, and the credit union wasn't waiting for its members to be in distress. They were reaching out proactively. Well, when I brought that up, that was, in fact, an unsolicited testimonial. That was not a paid commercial. That was just me stating an opinion. And if you've listened for very long, I have opinions on some things on occasion. 590 News. .438 at 590 WKZO. Taking you home on a Tuesday afternoon. Still cloudy out there, although the forecast says we're going to see some sunshine. Clear by tonight, mild, a low of 55. Mostly sunny and warm tomorrow, a high near 80. Thursday, variably cloudy, warm with some showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, and high of 77. We're up to 74 degrees now. And joining us via phone, Paul Clements. He's a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 6th District, representing Kalamazoo and the rest of Southwest Michigan. Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hi, Roger. I'm doing very well, thanks. How you doing?
I'm good. We've heard a lot about the repeal of the medical device tax, and yesterday it was in the news on multiple occasions that Fred Upton had been working on the repeal of the medical device tax. And so I did a little research and was surprised to find that Fred Upton was the number one recipient in Congress of campaign contributions by the large big pharma portion of our economy. And that Fred Upton had actually collected more money than John Boehner, Eric Cantor, and Steny Hoyer, the whip of the House. Does that surprise you that there's that magnitude of campaign contributions, and how are you raising your money to run for Congress?
Sure. No, I'm afraid it doesn't surprise me at all, because what we've been seeing is Fred Upton getting the overwhelming majority of the money for his very expensive campaigns from the very companies that he's supposed to be regulating. But actually that a lot of times, you know, he's helping through the back door, through the front door, as the case may be. In the last election, he got 80% of his resources from outside Michigan, you know, and I'm raising my campaign finance, my funds for my election, you know, predominantly from citizens right here in the district, a lot of it, most of it through relatively small-scale contributions.
And once in office, would your attitude toward taking out-of-district, huge out-of-district contributions change, and would you find it more acceptable?
Well, I want to be clear, and that is to say that I do not think that across the board taking out-of-district contributions is wrong. I do think it's wrong to take contributions from the very companies that you're supposed to be regulating and then twisting the law so they can make enormous profits, which I think is what we're seeing happening with Fred Upton.
Yeah. Well, and I've also seen some financial links, direct links between Mr. Upton and Stryker. And so that's why that's what made me think about the fact that he's collecting so much money in campaign contributions from Big Pharma.
Yeah, and he also voted long ago to stop the import of cheaper generic drugs, medicines from Canada, you know, which seemed to be safe enough for the Canadians, because he wants to protect the profits of American drug companies, American mm-hmm. pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, that's taking money directly out of the pockets of low-income other people who would like to be able to get good quality but low-cost medicines.
Well, and that it goes back to his being in favor of Medicare Part D, which is just opening up the country's treasury to the pharmaceutical industry. In that law, there is a specific prohibition from the government ever trying to negotiate discounts based on the volume of purchases that they make. That's not a business-like approach.
That certainly is not.
Current events. What is your view of the shutdown of Congress the government that Congress began last evening at midnight?
Well, I'll tell you what, Roger. I think last night Washington was a crime scene. I think that the Republicans are holding the federal government to ransom for a law that has already been passed through our normal, proper legislative process. It was a big issue in Obama's reelection campaign, and he got reelected with a considerable majority. It's been approved by the Supreme Court. Now they have sour grapes, and they want to shut down the government, you know, to take one more swipe at it, which just isn't going to work.
Well, and isn't it ironic that the marketplaces opened today seemingly with few problems, and just as they shut down the rest of government trying to stop Obamacare from going into effect. We just heard this afternoon that the latest idea coming out of the hostage takers in Congress is that they piecemeal will restore funding, and they're going to start with the National Park System and then follow that with Veterans Affairs. But isn't that just granting the people who took the country hostage even more power? Because now they can not only shut the government down on a whim, but they can determine what parts of the government they choose to shut down.
You know, absolutely. This whole scheme, we the American people, can't allow our government to go along this way. And I certainly hope that the president and the majority in the Senate don't play the game of these extremist Republicans. I mean, Fred Upton himself said it's a lousy idea to hold the federal government hostage for the Affordable Care Act, and then he goes and votes for it. You know, another example of him selling out. I mean, he himself said it's going to put the vulnerable at risk if he does this. And then he does it.
Yeah. Well, we heard Ted Cruz have his fake filibuster. And after 20-some hours of reading Dr. Seuss, within minutes of ending his long talk, he went ahead and voted for the bill he was filibustering.
I know, seriously.
This doesn't make sense.
Such inconsistency.
Yeah, yeah. The next hurdle, and we may come to this one prior to ending the shutdown, is the budgets or the debt ceiling. What's your view of that? And were you serving in Congress? What would your view? How should we proceed with the debt ceiling?
You know, I think that Americans should be outraged that the extremist Republicans in the House are holding the government hostage one time after another for this or for that, you know, now for the debt ceiling. This is something which up until now, up until just the last couple of years, has routinely, you know, the government owes money. Of course we pay, of course the government should pay the money that it owes. In terms of our long-term federal deficit, there are important issues to be addressed there that need to be worked out by working across the aisle, Democrats and Republicans working together. But the way to address that is not to threaten not to pay your bills. I mean, that harms the economy. It increases uncertainty for business. It's just not the way to run a government.
Well, and your point, I think, is well taken, that this isn't new spending. This is authorizing, paying for the money that they've already voted to spend.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, the Congress already spent that money.
Yeah.
And then now they say, well, you know, we're not really sure we want to pay for the money that we already actually spent. Come on.
I'm going to try that with my creditors this month and say, you know, I'm just thinking I don't want to pay my bills this month. What do you think about that concept?
Yeah, good luck to you. Yeah, seriously. Well, if you were the federal government, maybe you could do it too.
apparently.
Yeah.
Last night, the last effort by the House to send this back to the Senate was to send it to conference. Is sending a six-week stopgap spending bill to conference to work out the differences, that to me smelled like just dawdling along the way, playing for time. You've got a political science background. Am I missing something, or was that really dishonest, saying we want to go to conference on a six-week spending bill?
Well, I don't think you need a political science degree, actually, to figure this one out. You know, and I think that you're right, that they are just playing for time. They are just sort of trying to kick the ball forward, kick the can forward, but without addressing the fundamental issues. You know, again, this is already law. This is already being implemented. To say they want to not have it move forward now, when Congress already voted for it, it's already approved by the Supreme Court. It's the law of the land. It's just obstructionism. It's just causing trouble for Americans all over the place. It's terrible. We should be outraged.
Why is it we never see the Democrats in Congress taking this same approach? After the killing, tragically, of the kids in Connecticut, why didn't we hear Democrats saying, if you don't pass a background check before selling guns and make that actually work, we're going to shut the government down? I don't recall hearing anybody else other than these right-wing Republicans trying to extort what they want out of the government. Have I been missing the Democrats doing this too?
Yeah, you know, Roger, I didn't hear that either. Funny about that.
Ah, okay. It just seems that we're playing to these people and we let them set these artificial circumstances up time and time and time again. How do you end up stopping it? What would you do with the debt ceiling if you were in Congress? What's the way out of this?
Well, the way out of it is to get our long-term fiscal house in order through a combination of ending tax loopholes, of reducing spending in some areas, probably increasing taxes in some areas. You know, we do need to get our fiscal house in order, but not by threatening not to pay our bills. That's not the way you do that. Certainly, if the federal debt has already been incurred, we have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works.
How it works. You bet.
It's really quite simple. If you spend the money, you got to pay for it.
Yep. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon. Before I let you go, one last question. Do you have a sense of how long the government will be shut down? And do you think that the Republicans will take this piecemeal approach and actually end the crisis a piece at a time as they, well, now we're going to fund the national parks, then we're going to fund the veterans, and just move through it a piece at a time? Is that the way this is going to end?
Well, you know, I hesitate to predict the future. I think that the sooner they come to their senses, the sooner they'll just get our whole federal government going again. But if they want to drag it out, they can drag it out, cause a lot of harm, you know, hurt a lot of people, but they can do that. They have the power.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Thanks, Paul. Enjoy talking to you.
Thank you, Roger. Take care.
Paul Clements, the one of the candidates for the 6th District Democratic nomination. 590 WKZO time is 4:53. 74 degrees. We'll give you your full evening forecast coming up. Before 5 o'clock, clear and mild tonight, 55 the low, sunny and very warm, air conditioning weather tomorrow.
Don't say that.
A high near 80, 74 degrees in Kalamazoo, and in from the 1660 The Fan Sports Desk is Carolyn Binder, Dr. Sports as we call her here. Western going to win anytime in the foreseeable future?
Here's hoping. Today, the weekly press luncheon with none other than head coach PJ Fleck. And, you know, it just, you talk to him and it's like everything's right with the world, because you look at him and his optimism is at 100%. I'm not just saying that to, you know, to be fake. And he is 100% genuine in my eyes, and I advise anybody, if you're questioning it, talk to him, meet with him, email him, do something, because he is so excited. And he's not excited about being 0-5. Trust me, he's not excited about being 0-5, and no one on that Bronco football team or associated with the football team is excited about it, but they're excited about building this foundation that they are here in Kalamazoo with the community, with the football program, with the university. And in that sense, this program has jumped leaps and bounds. I've only been here since 2005 myself, but even as an 0-5 team, they've jumped leaps and bounds, even in my eyes, because of course I've followed the football team since 2005. Mm-hmm. And they have. They're making improvements. There's zero excuses. With the staff, with the players, with everyone associated with the program, zero excuses. And it can really only go up from there.
That being said, are they going to win with Toledo at home in Toledo this Saturday?
It's in the Glass Bowl at Toledo. The last time those two teams met in the Glass Bowl, everyone will remember the knock 'em down, drag 'em out 66-63 final. And yes, that's a football final for
that's
you.
Not basketball.
That's not a basketball score. The Rockets came out on top in 2011. They're going to have a tough test in senior running back David Flewellen. The defense that's been largely tested and is extremely young, and it's going to be a tough test to pick up their first win on the road. If they do it, it's only going to be by a few points, but I know they're going to learn a lot about their team this weekend. That is 100% for sure.
Okay. Now, a couple of quick things before
sure.
we run out of time.
Sure.
Lions.
3-1, baby.
Yeah.
Honolulu Blue. I love it, except for, you know, I'm the eternal Lions fan saying, well, they had a 24-point lead. They only won by 8. They almost blew a 24-point lead. But the fact is they got the job done. They're 3-1. And
I'll take ugly wins.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say how they won the game in the win column. It's that they won the game. They're 3-1 and tied atop the NFC North. Good shape for them.
And in the last few seconds,
yes,
are the Tigers ready for Friday?
I'm cautiously optimistic only because they got swept by the Rays. I know that it was their B team or whatever you want to argue with me, that the team that was out there wasn't all their top starters, but those headlines still exist that we've talked about moving into the postseason. So it's going to be interesting.
Your word of the day is optimistic.
Cautiously optimistic.
You added cautiously. Yes. Okay.
And buckle up.
Buckle up. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.